are going on a mission trip, and kids from Edson and High Level from our school, Koinonia Christian School, are also going. It is something that I have always wanted to do, talk about God's word and spread the word of Christ all over the world. I attended a mission trip 2 years ago to Mexico, and I had the best experiences of my life over there. I remember one time when a leader of ours, Mr. Peterson, he told us that if you feel in your heart that God is calling you to be a missionary for later on in your life, to come up so we can pray over you. And when he said that, I didn't want to come up because I was scared, and I was just scared. And he said that if you find a peace in your heart, stay where you're at, but if you don't, come up. And something started like tugging at my heart, and I felt like God was calling me up there. So as soon as I felt that, I stood up, and they started praying over us, and I started to cry. Tears would just flow down my cheeks, and I noticed that I was just scared. But I was glad that I was scared, because it makes me know that I'm going to step out of my comfort zone to talk about God's word. And I would gladly go on mission trip for God over and over again, whatever the circumstances may be, to talk about his word until he tells me to stop. And Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if I get persecuted or yelled at, or they talk about me, they say evil things about me because I'm talking about Christ, I would gladly do it again. And I would die any day for him, because he is my Savior, he's my life, he's my guidance. And I will, even though I'm scared to talk about his word in places that don't allow it, I would do it for him, because my purpose here is for him and my life here is for him. And so the mission trip will be, I think, 18, 19, or 20, we're leaving, and coming back the 27, April 27. And as well as other students, we need sponsors to sponsor us. And right now, we need a $750 donation from the school that they ask us to. So if you guys would like to sponsor me, that would be great. So, thanks.
Mexico.
Going to Mexicali. Going to Mexico, and we can help. We can help be a part of this. Tim, you want to come up here too? Let's just set two or three. So we're going to gather two or three, and let's just bless these two. Praise you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's just a privilege to live for you. God, there's no other life like it, Lord God. And God, you call us, Lord God, to give up our lives for you, Lord God. In exchange for that, Lord God, we have eternal life. So we just want to thank you, Jesus, for these two that you have set apart for this call that you have upon them. And Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would empower them in such a measure, Lord God, that they would be protected from any onslaught of the enemy, going there and coming back and being here, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, that they will experience, Lord God, your joy, your power, your anointing upon their lives, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Hallelujah. So we're looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord God. We don't look to our own selves, Lord God. We don't look to our own strength, our own understanding, but we look to you, Holy Spirit, Lord God. So we're asking you, Jesus, to empower these two as they go. Let them come back with an awesome report, Lord God, like the two spies that came out of the promised land with a good report. Let them come back with an awesome report, Lord God. Hallelujah. Of telling, Lord God, of what God has done in and through them in Jesus' mighty name. We declare that over these two, Lord God, that you have called up, that you have raised up, that you have given life to, Lord God. Hallelujah. Be with Daniela and Frank, Lord God, as they go. Just anoint them with the power of your Spirit, Lord God. We're asking this and protection, not only for themselves, but their whole group, their whole team, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I just wanted to say one thing. When we were worshiping this morning, I had this vision of that last song when Stan said we're going to pick up the tempo a little bit. I had this vision of all of us kind of like riding on a white horse, and we were all kind of like galloping together, and the enemy was just running. He was so afraid. And so, Father, I just pray for these two, and I pray, Father, that our prayers would be behind them, and that, Father, that the enemy would just be scattered everywhere they go, Father God. And I just pray your anointing on them. I pray for an increase in anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray your blessing on them, Father. And I thank you, Father, for encouraging us today. And encourage them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's exciting. That's becoming one of our traditions, you know, sending people out and seeing more people go into the mission field. And we don't have a lot of traditions, but that's a good one. Another tradition that we do have, it's one that we established last year at this time, is we decided that we're going to sing happy birthday for anyone who hits 94. I know, that was last year. So now we got 95. Yep. Grandma Emily there. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grandma. Happy birthday to you. Man, God bless you. Bless you. So God, we just infer your blessing on this mother of Zion, this grandmother of our people, Lord. I thank you for her faith. I thank you, Lord, for what she has injected into so many lives. And I pray for good health for her. I thank you, Lord, that her back is doing better. And I pray for continued healing for her. And, Lord, that you tell us that even in old age, there'll be green shoots, that there'll be fruit that comes from our lives. And we see this in her life. And I pray, God, for many blessings and that you'll be near and close to her, God, until that day when you bring her home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Whee! She goes. Oh, man. And just one more thing we're going to pray about. There's been, a hard thing that's happened on the streets this week. We had a real dear younger lady named Anna who passed away, and she's only, I believe, 28 years old, and she was 30. Some of the family's here, and I know it's hard, three-step stuff. I don't know why. I don't have any good answers. I know that she struggled for years. I know it's hard for you and your family. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, there's going to be just a little gathering at the kitchen for people who want to be there. And then there's actually a funeral service at a different time. But any of us who want to be there and just going to share some scripture and encourage each other. But this is a life that was lost way too early. And, you know, drugs and the enemy were really involved. The Bible isn't messing around when it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he killed. But prior to that killing this week, there was a lot of destruction. And there was a lot of things that were stolen from Anna's life.
by him. We're going to pray against that and pray today, especially for you, Teresa. And just pray that God will show his grace and show his mercy. There are so many that, you know, and I don't know if you guys are aware of it or how much you see it, but we see in the recent year, just in this last year, so much more destruction, so much more drugs. I see so many more young people that are losing their lives to this. And it's a grasp, the grasp of crystal meth or crack or heroin. There's a lot more heroin on the streets right now. That grasp is absolutely a death grip. And there are people, and I know this is really hard to believe, but there are people who only do this drug one time and they can never get free from it again, you know, apart from the power of God, of course. But it's just that deadly. It is that awful, and it is that addictive. So pray with me. God, I pray for our family. I pray for Teresa right now. And that, Lord, we just want to extend the comfort of God to our sister, because this is a hard time. And for her and her family, you're the one, Lord, who says that you are the God of all comfort. And then when we go through these really hard times, you promise to be really near. So be near to Teresa and to family members, Lord, and to friends, too. Lots of people on the streets are grieving over this, God. I pray that, as you say in your word, you can turn evil into good, that you'll bring good out of this, as hard as that seems at this point. I pray that there'll be people who will wake up and that they'll realize that this is a time to turn around, that there's a crossroads right now, or they may very well find themselves in the same situation. So I pray for redemption on the streets of Red Deer. I pray, God, that the drugs that are out there, that they will be ineffective, that they won't be able to do what they are intended to do. I pray for evil men who are trying to peddle these drugs, that you will stop them, God, that you will put an end to this, that you will deal with them in whatever way you choose to deal with, Lord, but they will understand that there will be justice, and God, that you will stand against, as we stand with you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will stand against the enemy. We do not need to be afraid. We are not afraid of the enemy. We are not afraid of the worst that he can do, because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Lord, I pray that you will bring good out of this, that people will turn to you, that we'll be a church that shines a real light, a light of Christ, and that that light will permeate and will dispense the darkness. There is so much darkness in the back alleys and in the corners and in the streets of Red Deer, and not just downtown, Lord, but in Anders on the Lake and in Rosedale and in Inglewood and every place, Lord, there are people who are caught up and who are slaves to Satan. Lord, we pray for freedom. We cry out freedom today, God. It is for freedom that you have set us free. And it's because of your Holy Spirit that we can claim and hold on to the freedom that you give us. So, Lord, let there be freedom on these streets. Let there be great revival. Let there be people who wake up and realize that there's hope, Lord. There's hope because of you. So many don't think they have a purpose. They don't think there's any reason to live. So God, I just pray that you will remove that despair. And Lord, just show yourself. You are God who reveals, so reveal yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, that's so hard. And it just, you know what? It just makes me mad. And it makes me want to work harder. And it isn't because hard work is going to make any difference at all. The only thing that's going to make any difference is God and what he does. But in some ways, we still need to rally the troops, and we need to start praying more. I invite you to come. Tonight, we're going to be praying specifically about these things. We have about 20 people that join together for prayer Sunday nights. It's only an hour. We pray from 6 to 7, and it's a great time. It's a great time of prayer, and tonight, we're going to do some warfare against drugs and against the drug lord. And because you know what? There's nothing I can do. I can't convince anyone. I can't sell this. I can't bribe people. I have no leverage in this except through prayer and except through what God can do. Yeah, that's right. So we need to do something. You know, doing nothing is not the answer. And it's really the calling that God has put on our church. You need to understand that. You know, maybe you're new here. You've only been here for a week or two. We need to keep that calling really focused. There's a lot of things. Church can look like a lot of different things. But what we need to look like is we need to look like a church that's reaching out to people who are lost, who are, this is a street ministry. People who are struggling in addiction, struggling with alcohol. Now, alcohol, if you think that's, if you think alcohol is no big deal, it's a huge deal. It's just destroying so many lives. God wants us to keep our vision focused and clear. And we need to rally together. We've been talking about the light that he gives us. Well, that light needs to shine. Last week we talked, and I shared a message about how we need to put our lights together. And that when your light is shining next to mine, all the light gets more brilliant. My light gets stronger when I put it next to someone else whose light is shining, and Christ is shining in that light. So, you know, we're gonna do that, and I know that God is leading us in that direction, and we're moving into this year with that kind of power, the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Amen. I'm gonna read from God's Word today. Back in Isaiah 60, God's been speaking to us in Isaiah 60, and it's all about light, and it's all about, you know, that the light has come. We've learned that means, you know, that Jesus has come, that ultimately it's about Christ, and that he rises above you. I'm going to read just the first three verses, because that's sort of the reference point again. Isaiah 60, the first three verses. These are such powerful verses. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this. I hope you are, but I am getting so much out of this Isaiah 60, and it's giving me hope, and it's reminding me that God is God, and that his light is such a powerful weapon against the darkness. Hear these words. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. You get that, right? See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You say amen to that? Yeah, there's a lot of darkness. But there's the light of Christ. And, you know, just like if we're in a room, if this room was pitch dark, if it was totally dark, if we came in here and we blocked off the exit lights, there was nothing but the darkness in here. If one person lit one candle, I'd be able to still see Brian across the room. All you need is one who will shine their light. Now reading a little further on in Isaiah 60, because you see, Isaiah 60, 1 to 3, you know, after that, the rest of the chapter comes back to this again. It comes back to it again, and we've been seeing that over the last few weeks. But you'll see that again in verse 18. This is where we're going to be our focus today. No longer, these are the promises that God gives us, no longer will violence be heard in your land, or ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Amen. Today's a good reminder that what Isaiah said, you know, almost 700 years before Jesus was even born, it's still true today that there's darkness that's over the whole earth. And that thick darkness, Isaiah says, the thick darkness covers all the people. And that, you know, how vital, how imperative, how important it is that we shine the light. That if we're just going through life and we're just living and we're going to church, you know, because going to church is a good thing to do and we're being nice and religious, none of that matters. Unless really there's a brilliant light shining from us. This is not just any old light that God gives you. This is the light of salvation. He says, your walls will cry out salvation and your gates will sing praise. Whoa. Because you are the light of the world. The light of Christ is in you. He's given, it's an amazing, powerful gift to shine in a very dark world that's all around us. And there's tons of examples of that. Tons of them. Years ago, even years before Isaiah, there was a time when the world was very corrupt and evil, and where God came to a point where he said, enough. It was the time of Noah, and we read about it in Genesis chapter 6. There's a time when God said, there's just enough of this. I'm tired of man's sin, and I'm tired of the evil in man, and I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to let it start raining, and it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to destroy man, except for Noah and his family. and I'm going to destroy the whole earth, he said. And there was actually, if you read the story of Noah's Ark and the story of the flood, there's one special reason, one reason in particular why God is tired of this, why he's fed up. There's one sin in particular that God won't stomach. Does anyone know what that is? Who said that? Yeah, you've heard that sermon. I preached on this a few years ago. Only two people remember that. But it's violence. And I want to read this for you because I think this is important. Just listen to God's word in Genesis chapter 6. Here's what he says in verse 11 to 13. God says this, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and it was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And so God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all of people, for the earth is filled with violence. The earth is filled with violence because of them. And I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth.'" And isn't that something? God can't stomach violence. There's one thing that God does not put up with. One thing that seems to set him off more than almost anything else, and it's that there's violence, there's the rage, there's the destruction, there's the murder and the killing between man and man, there's the rape, and all the things that are connected to violence. And one of the things that the Bible makes really clear right in the very beginning in Genesis 6 is that that's reason enough. God says, because of the violence, I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to save a remnant, but I am going to destroy the world. I'm only going to do this one time, God says. I'm not going to keep doing this, but I'm going to destroy the world through a flood. And I want you to absorb that today, and we need to understand today that how God feels about violence, how it really violates the very nature of God. It tears his heart apart. And maybe this is an item up for discussion. You might not agree with this, but in my opinion, we live in a world today that is even more violent than ever before. It's a violent world. There's so many examples of it, and I could spend all morning doing it. I'm not going to do that because I don't think I got to make my point by spending a lot of time on it, but we live in a very violent world. I mean, every generation, every century has had violence. I think you can go back, you can see man doing evil to man and hurting man and raping and murdering. But in our generation, things are different now. We live in a time of mass media. We live in a time when movies are at everyone's doorstep and where people are playing Call of Duty. I saw that. You nudged your husband. You know, where violence is at our very fingertips. And where the world, even though it's a huge world, it's become a small world because we can hear and see the violence that happens everywhere. Whereas in other times, that wasn't the case. In the other times, you just lived in your little world. Sure, you saw violence, but today, the violence is so prevalent. It's so obvious. I was reading, just looking up, how many people died in the 20th century by genocide. And there's, sometimes we talk only about Germany. There's a dozen or 20 countries who were guilty of genocide. And it's an estimate. You've got to understand this. But the estimate is that there's between 85, and we're talking about countries like Rwanda and countries like China and Korea and, many other, Hungary, Poland, Romania, lots of countries, that the best estimates are that there's 85 to 100 million people were killed through genocide. And even if that number is exaggerated, I mean, what if it's only 50 million? Does that make it any better? No. It's about, it shows us the violent world that we live in. And the fact that we're so much bigger, even just the very fact that the world today is so much larger than it was, 50 years ago. We're three times bigger than we were, 50 years ago. That the amount of violence today, just even from that sheer fact of the population that's grown, is higher, is greater, is more intense, is more deadly. There's more violence today than ever before, and I believe that it still grieves the heart of God. I'm sure you do too. That God's heart is broken because we're such a violent people, and we seem to thrive off of it. I know I said I wasn't going to give a lot of examples, but I won't. But one of the fastest growing sports in the world today is this sport of ultimate fighting. Again, I'm not saying, that's it, not going to say another word about it. But, I mean, it's all about violence. It's about people thirsting for blood. And I want you, I brought all this up because I want to make a point. I think it's God wants to make this point. Because you might say, well, why does God care? Why does he even care whether there's violence? Who cares whether someone in Korea kills someone else in Korea? Why does it matter to God? And the answer to that question is really simple. It's because he loves them. He loves you. You know, the reason why God doesn't want us to be violent, the reason why he wants us to treat each other with love is because he loves us so much. And it breaks the Father's heart when he sees how we treat each other, when he sees how we disrespect, when he sees how we murder, and when life is so cheap. He's a father. I'm a father. I know how it has grieved me in the past when my kids didn't get along. None of them ever wanted to kill each other. They might have said it, but they never really meant it. But, you know, that's a hard thing. You know, if you got kids that don't get along or kids that are always fighting, well, then you maybe understand the heart of God when he says, I love you so much. I love you so much. I don't want you to kill each other. I don't want you to violate each other. During that recent hockey, I'm not talking about the Flames and the Canucks last week. I'm talking about the junior tournament at New Year's. There were two brothers who were playing on Team Canada. They're the Reinhardt brothers. I think Max and whatever his name is. But they were playing on the same team. They're both high prospects. One's already drafted. Max is going to get drafted this year. And one time, the guy was telling a story, one of the brothers was telling a story that one time they were happened to be playing against each other in a major A game. And there was all of a sudden a fight broke out, and his brother, the bigger brother, grabbed him. He didn't really know who it was, but everyone grabbed a guy like they do in hockey. We're not going to talk about violence in hockey, but, you know. Anyways, the older brother grabbed Max by the shirt, and he dropped his gloves, and his younger brother looked at him, and he says, I'm going to tell Mom. And he didn't punch him. And I just thought of that because that's the point, right? That this is about God. It's about him being a father, and he's a father who wants his children to get along. He doesn't want us to get involved in all the violence out there because he loves us so much. And the truth is that violence is something we learn in life, or it grows on us, or it becomes acquired. It isn't something we're really born with. I don't think we're born to be this way. Even though I know we're born in sin, we're not born to be violent. If you are in the nursery in the hospital and you see all these little babies laying there, there isn't one that's violent and one that isn't. There isn't one who's smacking the one next to them. They're just laying there and they're quiet. And it isn't, you know, even when they're 1 or 2 years old, they don't have a violent nature. But sometimes by the time they're 5 or 6, they might. Or by the time they're 8 or 9, you can see that anger, and you can see, you know, you can see that rage. You can see that things are being disconnected in them. Sometimes, I don't know if you've recognized that, but sometimes you see that in children. Cain didn't hate Abel right off the bat. He grew to hate him, and that hate grew to become such an enormous, powerful force in his life that he ended up killing his brother, but he didn't hate him from beginning. When they were little boys together, they didn't hate each other, but when Cain allowed the envy to grow inside of him, and when Cain allowed the self-pity, I think that was a big part of it. He just, you know, he felt sorry for himself, and he felt like God, you know, he wasn't getting the favor of God, but when he allowed those things to grow inside of him, he allowed the anger and the hatred and the violence to take root as well. Do you think that's true? That's the way I read it. It doesn't start just because you're a baby. You're not destined to do this, but for a lot of people, and people that we deal with, and maybe you deal with as well, that violence is something that they inherit over the years, and it's because of the way they've been treated. It's because they've been abused. It's because of the violence that they themselves have had to experience and deal with, that it's how they react. They've learned how to react by what they've seen and by how they've been treated. And like Isaiah says, there's thick darkness that covers all the earth and darkness that covers all the peoples. And that the only, here's what I want you to try to understand today, that the only real answer, the only real solution is the light of Jesus Christ. And that light isn't just some little kid song. That light is Jesus really living in me and Jesus reflecting off of me so that I can dispel the darkness that is all around. Amen? The light of the world is Jesus. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul says this. He says that the God who said, "Let there be light," has also put his light in our hearts so that we can reflect the glory of God. Let me just say that again. That the God who declared, "Let there be light," has put his light into our hearts. I got Jesus' light in my heart. You get that? And maybe the reason why there's so much darkness and why we live in a generation and an age where the darkness is darker and the violence is more violent than it's ever been before is because our light has not been shining very brightly. That the church, we've been very religious and we've been very, you know, knowing what's right and what's wrong, and we've been very good at building an institution or a corporation, but we've been very poor at really shining a light that can shatter the darkness that's in this world. We've been powerless in a lot of ways. We stand by and we watch all these things happening all around us, and really, we don't need to do anything. We think we've got to do more stuff. We've got to go to more Bible studies. We've got to do more. God says, never says you've got to do more. He just says, just shine the light. And perhaps, I'm saying, perhaps, had we been shining the light as we're called to do, had we really been joining our lights together, one being a light that's fire, another one a lamp, another a flashlight, another a candle, if we really were putting our lights together and shining brightly for Christ, maybe the darkness wouldn't be as black as it is. Amen? What does James say? You have that there? James talks about how sin works in our lives. He says, if you're tempted by God, you're not tempted by God. No one should say that God is tempting me, but each one, verse 14, James 1:14, each person is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Each person is tempted when by his own desire he's dragged away and enticed. And he goes on to say, and then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Jesus shines in our hearts. There's a light. That's really the point of Isaiah. And it's what I want you to understand, what we need to understand today. His light needs to shine on me. It needs to shine through me. And sin has a way of just growing and infesting in us instead, so that rather than really shining a light, what we do is we just fight with each other, or we find reasons not to like each other. You know, I'm sure there's someone here you don't like. You know, someone that you don't get along with very well, someone who irks you. Well, get used to it. Get used to it. That's just, maybe it's me, you know. But that's just not what it's about. It doesn't matter. And today, it's really an opportunity. We're really compelled today to search our hearts, because the darkness that grows in our lives is really a darkness that originates in our hearts, nowhere else. A year ago, a gunman went into a school in New Jersey and killed 26 first graders, Shady Hook Elementary School. And there's been all kinds of people saying, well, why does this happen? I mean, you know, since then, by the way, I mean, that's a tragedy, but since then, in the last year, there have been 23 other mass shootings. And it's not just in the States. We say that sometimes and go, well, that's a States problem because of all the guns they got. It's a problem we have, too. It's a problem we have, too. And the problem, and here's what I think God would say, the problem, we want to blame it on guns, we want to blame it on mental illness, or we want to blame it on the drugs that they're on, but where it really originates, and we should know this, where it really originates isn't in the trigger of the finger, it's in the heart of man, right? The real problem that we have is in our hearts, and so that's why we all need to look at our hearts. We need to look at your heart. I need to look at my heart. We need to do a heart examination and find out if there are any shadows starting to grow here, right? Because, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not violent, so this isn't my problem. I'm not like Cain. I didn't kill my brother. I'm not a violent person. And yet, you know what? Sometimes that violence is very quiet, and it's in our hearts. And it's just in an attitude, or maybe it's just in our motive of how we do things, or maybe it's a prejudice that we have against a certain group of people, or maybe it's the unforgiveness that you have toward an ex-husband. But here's where it starts. It's right here. It's in our hearts. And we're wrong if we think that there's no violence in here, or that Satan doesn't at least attempt to bring darkness where Christ is trying to shine light. I know that he does it in my life, and I'm pretty convinced that I'm not that unusual. Well, you might doubt that. I'm pretty convinced that we all struggle with this. That there's darkness that tries to invade the light. Even though Jesus is the light of the world and he lives in my heart, sometimes darkness finds a place that it should not have. And it's time for us to do a heart exam. It's time for us to ask each other the question, you know, what's the condition of your heart? Have you been growing bitter about something? Have you been feeling sorry for yourself? Like Cain. Have you been thinking, no one appreciates me, and by doing so your heart just gets a little more shaded? Because then it's time that we get on our knees, because the Bible makes one thing really clear, and that's that to get our hearts really pure before God, and we do that as we come to the Lord's table today, but the one thing we need to do is we need to get on our knees and repent and come to God and say, Lord, clean my heart today. Clean up my heart, because it's been filled with some bitterness and there's some envy. I'm envious of that lady who everything seems to go good for her and it doesn't go good for me. Or maybe I'm so angry at my ex-wife for the way she's treated me and what she's done. Whatever it is, maybe it's unforgiveness. It's time that we come today and say, God, here's my heart. It cannot, listen to me, it cannot shine. It cannot shine if it's filled with the crud of the darkness and the blackness. It cannot shine. It cannot shine. And it's hard to do this, because it means we need to be honest. And we don't like to be honest. We'd rather just kind of carry on and live the way we've been living. And, man, I'm doing pretty good, and everyone thinks I'm doing pretty good, because just look at them watch me, you know. I'm doing all right. I'm living without, my heart is pure. I've got clean hands and a pure heart. Hallelujah. And everyone goes amen. But it isn't true. It isn't true. There's time. You know, we need to learn how to live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is the only way that our hearts can be pure. Living under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That happens in my life when I'm really seeking God and I'm really following him and I'm in his word. What happens is that when that shadow starts to form in my heart, I get to know it right away. And I don't walk around with that shadow. I don't walk around with that dark place in my heart for 2 months and then go, oh, wait a minute, I'm starting to envy someone, or I'm not forgiving someone, or Chad is just bugging me. You know, that God stops me in my tracks. I live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that I'm moving in the Holy Spirit. And when those seeds start to get planted in my heart, God wakes me up. He says, stand, stop it. Your problem is not with Chad. By the way, I've never had a problem with Chad. But your problem is not with flesh and blood. Your problem is with the principalities and the powers of this dark world. And so, yeah. So give your heart to me, he says. Just give your heart to me and repent. Live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit so that you do not give that enemy a stronghold or a foothold in your life. You don't let him grab onto you. You don't give him. He doesn't get to sublet a little part of my heart. He doesn't get to. Because my heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen? My heart belongs to Jesus Christ. I want his light to shine for me. And I got to confess, you know, and maybe it's not a surprise, but there are times when his light hasn't shone for me the way it needs to. But I'm feeling God moving me lately, and a revival of God in my spirit, and him calling me, even last night, waking me up in the middle of the night, just saying, okay, Stan, great sermon, you know, nice passage, but what about you, buddy? What about you? You know, what about how you feel? What about how you're dealing with those people? What about the things that are in your heart? And if I don't come clean, you know, why would anyone come clean? Right? Repentance. Coming to God saying, Lord, here's my heart. Make it totally and completely yours. Make it clean, Lord Jesus. Let your light shine through me unfiltered. You get that? Let it shine through all of us unfiltered, that we join. I join my light with my brother here and with Jason and Ricky, and we join our lights together, right? We say, we're brothers in Christ. Nothing matters more than this. You know, nothing matters on this earth other than the salvation of those people out there who don't know Christ. And we need to do this together, Conrad. We need to do this together, Crystal. We stand together. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but Christ is perfect in me. He declares us righteous. And we live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit to follow him and to let his light shine brightly. Finally, just one last thing. We're gonna come and eat and drink. We're going to remember that this is a new covenant that Jesus said in my blood. He told us to do this. He said to his disciples, this is my body, and I break it. I give it to you. This is all about us getting on our knees, really. This is not a tradition. This is not a ritual. This is not religious. Jesus never intended this to be religious. He said, come and eat with me and remember, I am the light of the world. But I want you to think about this today. That the very God, and it's just, I thought about this yesterday. I got to back up a bit. You know, I can tell you exactly where I was. We were driving in the car, and Crystal said to me, how are things going for tomorrow? And I said, I don't know, something's not there yet. You know, God gave me this final word. Just a quick little vision, just this last little thing saying, know this about me. And here's what he said to me. He said, you know how much I hate violence. You know that because of violence, I destroyed this whole earth once. You know how I feel about men who kill men and rape women and people who battle nation against nation. You know how I feel about the violence of this world. And yet, know this, that when I sent my son and we hung on the cross, he took the violence. He took all of the violence. He took the worst violence that man could ever put upon him. He took the violence all upon himself. That God, listen, God endured the violence that he hates so much because he loves you so much. That God endured the striking fists. He endured the whip. He endured the crown of thorns. He endured having to carry that cross all the way. He endured all that violence that God is, that it just, he's repugnant of that violence. God hates that violence, and he took it upon himself, and he died on the cross for me. He did that so that he could save me and so that he wouldn't need to destroy like he did with the flood. Do you get it? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word, and we know that we don't need to be convinced that there's violence and evil all around. I thank you that Isaiah says that one day, and maybe one day soon, all that violence will be removed from this world. God, we look forward to that day. We look forward to the day, Lord, when there'll be peace. And we know that our peace is found in a person. And that person is Jesus. We just pray, God, that today we'll be able to clean up our hearts by confessing to you. We'll get a new beginning. We need that. We need to do some searching and see where our hearts are bitter or where they're full of self-pity or anger. But we just want to have that heart exposed today. And I pray for a clean heart today. And that we'll just accept your promise that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and you're just, and you'll cleanse us and you'll forgive us of all unrighteousness. So God, as we come to your table, as you invite us, give us a clean heart. Wash away our sins. And I pray that by the power and the conviction of your Holy Spirit, we'll learn to walk in a way that there is a brilliant light that shines from us. That's our prayer, God. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, God. The early church talked about this as being a love feast. And they'd get together and they would have all these things in common with each other. And they would celebrate the blood and the body of Jesus. And I just encourage you to do that today. Come to God, and we're gonna as we sing this first song, we're just going to come up, take a piece of bread and take a little cup of juice and make your way in a circle. And then we're going to just celebrate what Jesus said we should celebrate. He says, do this until I come again. This is heart check time. You are my strength when I am weak. Come on up. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. As a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, my all in all.
just grab the little cup and the bread, and let's just make a circle, okay? We got time. Just worship God. Let's worship Him.
I love you, Lord, and I live my voice.
Nice and slow.
To worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice. Take joy.
We eat from one loaf because we are one body. We share this together, and we're reminded that it is one light that shines from Potter's hands, and that we're connected to the only one who can make any difference, and that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus, when he sat with his disciples the night before he died, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is like me. This is my body, and I give it completely to you. Take and eat. Remember and believe the body of Jesus." Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Some of us here have been on either side of violence. You've been the one who gives it, or maybe you've been the one who received it. And you know how ugly it is. You know that it is the personification of the darkness of sin. Remember today what God tells us in His Word, that Jesus came so that He wouldn't ever need, God never needs to destroy the world again. He came to pay the price of violence with what He was inflicted upon Him on the cross. This is, you know what this is about? This is all about a new beginning. And there's some of us here today who you need to hear this. There's a new start. There's a new beginning. There is hope. There's a purpose and meaning in our lives because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is about the power of God, the power to heal, the power to save, the power to forgive you from all of your sins and to forgive me from all of my sins. This is about a new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And He said, take and drink, remember and believe. There is newness. Remember and believe. This is my blood, and I pour it out for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. What will we say to God now? How do you thank Him? How do we praise Him? The passage said that the walls will shout your salvation. There'll be no more violence, it says, and the walls will shout your salvation and the gates will sing your praise. So let's do that for a minute. How do we shout God's salvation? Yeah, we can. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Hallelujah! Whoa, worship God! Thank you, Lord! Lift Him up! Lift Him up! Lift Him up! He's a mighty God! He loves you! He loves you. What's on your heart? Joy. Peace. What do you say to God today? Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. What do you mean, relationship? Yeah. Thank you, God. We have a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. Someone else. Yeah. I will complete the work I started in Matt and in Stan and in all of you. Amen? Yeah. Good word. I don't know if you heard that we're connected to every Christian church, everyone who's ever proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. We do this together with all of them. We are one body. Amen? Amen. Amen. Someone else. One second. Say it again. Amen. And you do. Frank. Thank you, God. Did you hear that? You know, someone needs to hear that today. You are not that old sinner anymore. You know, if you give your life to Christ, that sin is paid for, it's covered. He sees you as righteous. You are righteous. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's a new start. That's what God is all about. Amen. Someone else, how do we thank God today? What do we say to God? Thank you, Lord, is a good start. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, we talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit doesn't come until we've asked Jesus into our heart. So We need to make that step. Say, Jesus, you come into my heart. And then we can live under that conviction. It's such a wonderful thing, you know, to be free and to walk in that freedom. Really. Your mother-in-law's 96? Well, she makes our grandma look young then. And she received salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. There's no better time, right? There's no better time than right now to receive Christ, just to ask him into your heart if you haven't done that. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? This is how we build our thankfulness and our gratitude to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God cares about you. He cares about your sickness. He's a God who heals. I don't think we're done here, so I'm not going to quit. Yeah. Amen. Well said. We love you, Betty. Amen. Okay. Yeah. So we don't need to deal with that. We let God handle all that. He's a just God. Amen. Thank you. You know, there. I guess I'm going to say, there are some people in this circle. I know you don't know everybody, and I don't know everybody either. There's some people who are watching us right now, and they're not sure if this is real or not. And they're going, either these people are really, either they've really got something, or they are just whacked out. And I mean, that's really true. There's some people here, they're here because they're hurting, and they're here because they know they need something. And it's up to us to show that this is real. And if this is not real, if what we're saying and how we're living, if this is not the genuine article, we should just stop it. Let's go do something different. But if we really love the Lord the way we say we do, and it should be visible, it should shine from our lives, and people should look at us and go, there is something there. It is authentic. That's an important word. It's authentic. Well, yeah, that's the other side of it. But say it again? Yeah. We're fools for Christ. I can live with that. And there's a bit of wackle going on, but yeah, Lloyd? Thank you, Lord. Thanks, God. Yeah.
Brian. I've been been thinking this last couple of months, and you were talking about it. And Matthew chapter 11, it says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. He's talking about John the Baptist and his importance, the least of the kingdom. And then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it, or are raiding it. And what we're seeing on the streets, there's violent men who are taking people who God intended to be part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful for the last 7.5 years of my life that finally found a purpose in being on the streets, but from the opposite end. And, you know, this is violence that's being committed against the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And we need to rise up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Enough is enough. In my 7.5 years of being clean and sober, 65 friends of mine have died, and they didn't need to. And I agree. It's because our light doesn't shine. It needs to shine. If we're going to take back the streets, if we're going to take back the suburbs, if we're going to lead people to Jesus Christ, that light needs to be brighter than it's ever been before, because the darkness is worse.
Amen. Amen. Do well.
The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Watching Teresa today, and I just want you to know, Teresa, that God is there with you right now. I have lost a brother and a nephew to you at 26 and 28, and the depth of your grief is amazing how far it can go. But what I've also learned is that how much God loves me more than any death. And the depth that you're feeling and the hurt you're feeling right now is because how much you loved your sister and your auntie. And I want you to know that God is still there no matter what happens. God is the God of my circumstances. And if I trust in Him and lean on Him, He has promised to pick us up. He has promised to hold us tight. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that over the last few years. Just keep holding on to God and hold on to Him tightly, and He will hold on to you.
Thank you, Gina. You get the last word.
The name of Jesus can break every chain, but we have to believe, and we have to make a decision. We're talking about the light to shine, but we have to make a decision if we're going to let it shine, or we're going to be sometimes shining, sometimes not shining. So I think we cannot just, I'm believing it. We have to believe, yeah, or not believe.
Yes. Because you know what? If sometimes we're shining and other times we're not shining, we don't look real to anybody. Give me a key of G. Can you just play G? He is Lord. Sing it with me. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, oh, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Yes, my knees shall bow, and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And no longer will violence be heard in your land. No longer will ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise.
And the sun will no more be your light by day or the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. And then will all people be righteous. And they will possess, the land forever. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His peace. And may your light shine brighter than ever. God bless you. Amen.
Heart.